This is Dan Jurjakis, and you're listening to Greece on Film. Tonight we have a particularly interesting program, I think, because we're going to be discussing, as I mentioned in earlier programs, about films being made in the Greek community, about the Greek community. And today it's a very unique institution that's being looked at, and that is it's the Greek Synagogue on the Lower East Side of New York. And I say unique because it's the only Greek synagogue in the Western Hemisphere. And the people in the synagogue are mainly from the area of Yanina, and they arrived in Greece probably about the time of the Roman Empire. And during the time they were in Greece, and there are still some of their fellows are still in Greece, they were Hellenized, and they had spoke two languages. They spoke Hebrew in the synagogue when they did religious services, and they spoke Greek for everyday life. During the War of Independence, these Jews who are called Romaniot Jews, which is Jews of the Byzantine Empire, fought with the Greeks to establish the Greek state. They also were engaged in the World War I, the Balkan Wars, and the disaster in 1922. So we have with us Ed Ashkenazi, who is the writer, director, and I don't know, creator of this film. Ed, pleased to have you here.
Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Tell us about the film, what you're trying to do, and where you're at.
Sure. Well, it might be interesting just to give a little bit of a background first and what brought me to this project. Essentially, I'm a Jew of Greek descent, a Romaniot Jew, who grew up thinking that I was Sephardic. And it might be worth it to take a minute to explain to the people listening. The two main branches of Judaism are, you have the Ashkenazi Jews, who are the Jews from Eastern Europe.
They speak Yiddish.
Exactly. And the Sephardic Jews, who are principally the Jews from Spain and the Iberian Peninsula.
And they speak Ladino.
And Ladino is their language, exactly. Which is a mixture of antiquated, I guess, Middle Age Spanish and Hebrew words. But it's become commonplace in this country, especially, to take everyone who is not of Ashkenazi descent and lump them all into this category of Sephardic Jews. And as I've learned since I've become involved with this community, is that simply inaccurate. And this is essentially what I'm exploring in this documentary: this community and my family connection to it, because my family has been a part of this community for four generations.
So you did not go to this synagogue as a child?
No, I had never been to it. The interesting thing was I'd always heard about this synagogue growing up. My family would talk about it and so forth. I remember they used to get invitations in the mail to weddings and bar mitzvahs and so forth. But growing up as a kid in suburban Long Island, I'd never really made it to the East Side very much. But one day, a few years ago, I guess this was back in 98, there was a New York Times article about the synagogue, this article said, "The Last Greek Synagogue on Broome Street." And this little bell went off in my head, and I thought, you know, this has to be the same place that I grew up hearing about. So I went down and paid them a visit. And Dan, I have to tell you, it was this extraordinary experience, because I walk in, I tell them my last name, and they all knew my whole family. And they started telling me stories about my great grandparents and how my great grandmother lived next door and what an extraordinary woman she was. And in fact, there were cousins of mine that happened to be there that day who I met for the first time. So I met family. And it was just so interesting learning about this culture while I was there, because it's also a museum. As well as a synagogue.
It's interesting that you said that New York Times article, because I read the same article, and that's how I found that particular museum.
Huh.
And Isaac Dostes, who was a very important figure there, was tracing what happened to his family during the Holocaust. And Isaac, as you know, discovered that the Greek Christians had saved half of his family.
Oh, wow.
And I think the community should know that this particular synagogue is very active in bringing forward the Greek Christians who saved Jews during the Second World War, and have had several Greeks have now been honored in Israel because of what the synagogue is doing, which is a little different from your personal story, but it's not different because it's the same story. And Isaac said that he always knew he was some kind of funny Jew too, because his food was different. Now, did you eat different food, or did you hear Greek at home?
Not really so much. No. You know, I'm a fourth generation Romagnot, so I guess I'm a little bit more removed from all that. I mean, I remember my grandparents playing Greek music at home. But I think that they were also of a generation, since they were first generation Americans, I think they were of this generation where people wanted to assimilate. Mm. And so, and I remember them being very, very secular. And so I think it's interesting that it's now only one or two generations later that I'm sort of coming back to these roots.
You're rediscovering your own roots.
Mm, mm, mm.
Now, what is this film going to be about? Is it going to be about you mm-hmm. personally doing mm-hmm. this, or is it going to be about the community?
Yeah,
or?
Well, both. I sort of left the synagogue that very first day, knowing in the back of my mind that there was definitely a documentary in here somewhere, but I hadn't discovered the hook of it yet. So it had to sort of germinate a little bit in my mind. But I finally decided to make this documentary in which I take my father back to his childhood neighborhood where he was born and raised, the Lower East Side. And together we visit this neighborhood where he grew up. We go back to the synagogue where he was bar mitzvahed. And we examine this community together, and which, as I said, is a very special community, a very unique community. It's not one that very many people know about. Certainly many Jews don't even know about it, that the Romanet Jews even exist. And so to examine this community and this culture and our connection to it.
What is your background as a filmmaker? Are you just sort of a guy with a camera and says, well, I'm going to shoot this, or do you have a background?
Studied filmmaking in college, and since then I've been making films and videos on my own, writing screenplays. I'm also a film video editor. I've been working in film video editing for since I got out of college, which is a few years now, let's say, and I've been doing that here in New York City since then.
I should tell the viewers that we're the listeners that we're going to give a phone number later on for people who want to get in contact with Ed. I have seen some early versions of the work, mm-hmm. and it's very nice. It's a professionally done film, and it's sound quality is good. It's very fascinating. Of course, as a Greek, it's totally fascinating from that point of view. But I think even if you weren't Greek and you weren't Jewish, I think it's still fascinating because it's sort of looking back at the immigrant experience in America. What happens to people mm-hmm. who come from the old country and come to this new country? Mm-hmm. The rejection, the hanging on, the rediscovery, all that's in there. Yeah. And I believe you also said at one time when I heard you speaking that you wanted to introduce Greek music or Greek-Jewish music, which
absolutely.
Is another...
I'm still doing research into that, but absolutely, absolutely. It's part of the culture, certainly. Yeah. I wanted to pick up on what you were just saying, because the other thing that I want to explore in this documentary is the disappearance of community life. Prior to World War II, there was a thriving Jewish-Greek community on the Lower East Side, in that whole area of Broome Street and Allen Street and so forth. From what I understand, it was full of Greek cafes and what are called cafenios, if I'm saying that correctly. So you would have one tenement apartment building that was full or mostly consisting of Greek and Spanish Jews. And you could have an entire floor or entire couple of floors of people from the same village in Greece, you know, in Yanina. And they were it's probably all family, actually. So, I mean, everybody was cousin of somebody else. So, you know, but from what I understand from these guys telling me talk about community life there, everybody lived together. I mean, doors were kept open. If you didn't like what you were having for dinner that night, you'd go next door to the neighbors and see what they were having for dinner. So it sounds like it was this extraordinary way of life. It's something that I personally have never experienced. I personally have never lived in that type of community life. I'm sure it wasn't a bed of roses, and I'm sure because these people were mostly immigrants. They were poor. They lived under cramped conditions.
Well, if they were Jews and Greeks, they were arguing all the time, but that's okay. That's part of the culture. But...
But my point is, one of the things I want to ask these guys is, if it was so wonderful, why did people move away?
Here's a question that the Greeks always ask. Who's paying for this?
I tell you, this whole project has been a total labor of love for me, and it's So far, it's been entirely self-financed.
You mean there's no international conspiracy financing this film?
No, not at all. I'd be open to one. No. You know, I've assembled a small crew. We've shot over a few days, spread it over the last few years.
People have donated their services.
No, not donated. I've paid them.
You've paid them. Okay. So this is what the reason I'm saying these things is because I have quite a bit of experience in knowing how people do documentaries. Mm-hmm. And basically, there is no funding for most documentaries.
It's so
and it's
hard.
The filmmaker themselves puts up their own money. And The people that are working with them often donate the thing, or they charge for 1 hour and they work for 5 hours, and they lower what they usually pay in order to just get something.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. People don't expect to get paid on a documentary where they get paid for a feature film that's budgeted at $10 million.
I would say that if you apply to a granting agency, we were talking about this before. Mm-hmm. What do they get? 1,000 applications, they get 5 grants.
Exactly. It's just so hard. It's just so hard. It's so competitive.
So one of the problems of making any kind of ethnic film, any kind of film with this kind of content, is it really must be carried on by the community itself or by an individual who has a love or a drive to do it.
Seems that way.
In one way, maybe that's good because you get a project that's really full of love and lust and it's important because there are no bucks here. On the other hand, it'd be nice to have a few bucks because you could do a couple more takes.
Right. Well, that's why I'm trying to get archival stuff from individuals as opposed to buying the rights to it at a stockhouse, which is extraordinarily expensive.
Maybe you could talk about what that means, a stockhouse. I mean, I know what that means, but is that where cattle are kept?
there are places that license the right to use archival footage in documentary. So when you see a documentary on television, the filmmaker has bought the license to use that old footage in his program.
We've been talking with Ed Eshkenazi about his film. It's about the Greek Jewish synagogue and community that flourished on the Lower East Side of New York at the turn of the century and which still exists, has a small congregation. I want to thank you for joining us. I don't know if you have any last words.
No, it's just been a pleasure, and above and beyond all else, this project has been a great journey for me, and it's been embarking on this project, but also getting involved with this community. So, but thank you for having me.
Is this your first interview about your film?
Yes, it is.
Scoop, Hellenic Public Radio, Cosmos FM 91.5, Kalanikta.